Well, good afternoon. Very good to see all of you here today. My name is Don Warren. I'm Oglala Lakota, originally from Kyle, South Dakota, on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Anyone ever been to Kyle, South Dakota? Wow, four or five? How did that happen? That's amazing. That's four or five more than usual. So very impressive. Well, I'm currently the director of the Master of Public Health Program at North Dakota State University. I'm very happy and honored to be a part of this discussion because I think we're opening doors that would be of great value to tribal communities. As Ashley discussed, we have terrible health disparities, and our system is very complex. And as Dr. Keck had mentioned, we have challenges when we're looking at academic public health and the practice community and how there's cross-cultural differences. Well, if we're working with tribal populations, we're throwing in another layer of cross-cultural differences and different expectations. So how can we move this forward in a reasonable way? And again, in compliance, I have no disclosures to make today. I'm not selling anything in this particular presentation. Well, if we look at the Indian health system, it's very different than the general health system that we have across the nation. And Ashley had mentioned the Transfer Act of 1954, which moved the Indian Health Program from what was at the time the Bureau of Indian Affairs over to what is now Department of Health and Human Services. But in 1955, the world of medicine was very different, obviously. This is before Medicare, before Medicaid, before medical subspecialization, before HIPAA compliance, a very different world. And then she had also mentioned the Indian Self-Determination and Education Assistance Act of 1975, and that's the law that actually allows tribes to take over the management of health systems from the IHS. So that's actually Public Law 93-638. So in Indian country, the term 638 has actually become a verb. So we're going to 638 the clinic, or we 638ed the hospital, meaning taking over the management of it. So we have an interesting blend of systems, and when we look at our health departments, the tribal health departments are typically not under the IHS umbrella. Now, there's all kinds of variations in terms of the hundreds of tribes that we have, but typically speaking, the tribal public health department has its own resources, typically quite underfunded, but then what they will do is 638 various functions. So they might 638 community health workers or the community health representative program, perhaps public health nursing, or perhaps some of the other functions that IHS operates. And then those are moved into the tribal public health system. So as we're looking at the opportunity for academic health departments, I think it's important to recognize that IHS is a key stakeholder and definitely an important component of the health system, but it really is the tribes that we would need to work with very directly, because typically, even though IHS is in the public health service, very little of what IHS does is actually public health. Because of underfunding, they're primarily doing medical care. Well, actually, we'd mentioned just briefly the Indian Health Care Improvement Act, originally passed in 1976. It was reauthorized in 1988, and it was the reauthorization and the amendments in 1988 that for the first time allowed IHS and tribes to bill Medicaid. So we have a very complex system now in which in one community we could have IHS clinical facilities, tribal 638 public health programs, and both engaging state programs including Medicaid. So a very complex system. And when we think about working with health departments, maybe it's a county, local health department, it is very different than working with the tribal community, because we also have to recognize that the tribe is also a sovereign nation. In addition to having a health department, we're actually dealing with another governmental agency. So even though it's complex, these are things that are going to be very important to engage when we're looking at trying to expand academic public health into the tribal communities. Now, taking a step back and thinking about how much this is needed, we also have to recognize that when we look at the 10 essential services of public health, that's even very complex to try to implement in tribal populations. And I think this is where an academic partnership could be of great value. So, for example, we need to monitor disease processes and investigate outbreaks. We had an outbreak of infectious disease at one of the tribes in North Dakota just in the last several months. And it's remarkable how much time was spent trying to determine who was responsible for what component of the response. Is it the tribe? Is it IHS? Is it the county? Is it the state? Is it CDC? Nobody knew. So the challenge was we weren't appropriately responding to the infectious disease outbreak. In the meantime, the infectious disease process was getting worse. So even something as simple, relatively simple, as monitoring and investigating is very complicated in tribal communities. When we look at some of our other policy and planning types of services, that's why it's important to also have things like tribal health codes. Most tribal governments do not have their own health code. So we don't delineate who is responsible for what component of public health response. So again, is that a potential role for an academic partnership to look at what are model tribal public health codes and how do we develop those and implement them? And having something like good policy and planning and certainly a public health code or public health act at the tribal level could go a long way toward making some significant improvements. Also, when we think about things like linking people to essential services, I think in non-Indian populations, we know where the federally qualified health centers are, we know about our Medicaid programs, but IHS is completely different. So even when we're thinking about linking people to health services, that's very complicated as well because we have to engage Indian health service in many cases, or even looking at some of the other types of services like the urban Indian health programs. There's also evaluation and research, and much of what we do in public health, of course, is determined by evidence-based practice, and I like the concept of practice-based evidence as well. I think that makes much more sense. But even when we are applying for grants at the tribal level to try to implement perhaps a tobacco program, CDC requires us to use what they determine as evidence-based practices, right? My question is, whose evidence is it? If a program works well in Atlanta or Boston, does that mean it's going to work in Kyle, South Dakota? Well, not necessarily. So in truth, we need to build our own evidence base. That's part of evaluating our programs. That's part of conducting research. And that could easily be part of an academic partnership. We need to build the American Indian public health evidence base as we move forward. So very briefly on disparities, and Ashley had mentioned several of the issues we face. We have very high rates of death due to preventable causes, including diabetes, infant mortality, cancer, and several other causes. One of the outcomes of that, little known fact, in the state of North Dakota, the average age at death is 75.7 for the white population in North Dakota. The average age at death for American Indians is 54.7. That's a difference of 21 years. Now, is that because we don't have enough insulin in the pharmacy? No, it's not a medical issue. It's a public health crisis that is screaming for intervention. So that's why a discussion like this is so vitally important. We need to access other types of resources and expertise to address this. These are third world health conditions. And I like to remind people, you do not have to cross an ocean to find third world health conditions. It's right here in our homeland. If you go to reservation communities, we're facing a public health crisis. And clearly, the academic world needs to step forward in a positive way and be a part of the solution. Other challenges I'd mentioned are disparities. Much higher rates of death due to diabetes, alcoholism, accidents and unintentional injuries. Our suicide rates are much higher as well. And when we're talking about the social determinants of health, I think we need to leverage what is being learned about adverse childhood experiences, even concepts like epigenetics and intergenerational trauma, unresolved trauma. All of these things need to be explored in a culturally relevant way because they're all having an impact on our terrible disparities. So what do we do about this? If we think about a tribal academic health department, I just love that whole concept. And much of this is actually taken from Dr. Keck's slides, looking at collaborative relationship to enhance public health education and training, research, and service. Again, at the tribal level, this would be of such great value to ensure that we have culturally relevant public health messaging. So, for example, many of our tribal populations used traditional tobacco, which is not the same as commercial tobacco. So, in truth, when you go to a reservation community in the Dakotas, and if you say, we are 100% tobacco-free, that's culturally incompetent, because traditional tobacco does not have all of the carcinogenic chemicals that commercial tobacco has. So we have to say we are commercial tobacco-free, not just tobacco-free. Just recognizing that there are differences, and we have to incorporate this into our education and training. In terms of strengthening linkages between academics and public health practice, this is vitally important. And in my own experience, I'm a family physician, and I also do have a Master of Public Health, and I went to Harvard for my MPH. And at Harvard, I think they kind of like to think of themselves as the experts at everything. At least that was my experience while I was there. And I was impressed by what they knew about urban public health, what they knew about global health. They could talk about sub-Saharan Africa. They could talk about Southeast Asia. They knew nothing of American Indian public health. And that's not just Harvard. I would say that's the entire academic public health system has neglected American Indian health for decades, and that has to stop, because we have the worst health disparities in this nation, and the academic sector needs to step forward and do something about this. We also need to increase awareness of public health. There's actually, in many of our tribal populations, people don't really know what public health is. I think that's probably true in many of our populations, not just American Indian. But because IHS is in the public health service, people link the concept of public health to medical care. And in truth, we need to work further upstream. We need to prevent these issues that are causing such terrible disparities. Also, we need to better prepare students for public health practice careers. I would say the vast majority of people who have a Master of Public Health probably don't know the legal and historical or policy basis for Indian Health Service. They probably don't know the cultural issues. They probably don't know the historical issues that lead to health disparities. I think that in academic public health, we have ignored American Indian populations. And that is not good for our workforce to be uninformed or misinformed about American Indian populations, and clearly improving public health systems and community health. So how do we get there? Obviously, we need good community engagement with the tribes. Another resource I think that's underutilized is the tribal colleges. We have about 40 tribal colleges nationwide, and many of them have health-related programs. And why not have an academic health department with a tribe that uses the academic sector and master's level training in public health, but also linking to the tribal colleges and building our workforce at a grassroots level. We also need to recognize that American Indian public health should be treated as its own academic discipline. At North Dakota State University, we have the only specialization in American Indian public health in the nation. So we have students who can actually specialize in American Indian public health, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. Other concepts, you know, nationally there's all kinds of efforts, like public health training centers through HRSA. How many of them are focused on American Indians? Zero. When we look at the public health associate program at CDC, actually they have their 140 new public health associates this week in Atlanta. How many of them are placed at tribal health departments? Historically, there's been one out of 140 per year. Isn't that remarkable? How about the Public Health Prevention Service? How many of them have been appointed to either North Dakota or South Dakota? There's been one when we look at both states over the years, and that one was not at a tribal facility. And when we look at public health institutes, how many are focused on tribal public health? Zero. Is this acceptable? And when we think about the resources that we pour into international health and into global health, have we solved all the public health crises here in the U.S. that we need to invest around the world? Absolutely not. This is a public health crisis right here. And through academic partnerships, I think we can build public health training centers, public health associates, public health institutes that are focused on our own populations that are suffering tremendously. So just briefly go into our NDSU MPH program and some of the things that we are doing about this. This is our mission. The NDSU MPH mission is to promote health and well-being in diverse populations with an emphasis on American Indian and other underserved populations by providing educational, practical, and research opportunities for public health professionals. I'm pretty confident we're the only MPH program in the nation that has the words American Indian in the mission of our school. This is what needs to be done, and this is what we are working on. Our vision also includes that we will be a premier source of education and training for public health practitioners working with rural and American Indian populations. Our mission and vision is focused on underserved rural and American Indian populations because we've been largely ignored in the academic public health sector. And I see this as an opportunity to build relationships with academic health departments that are based at the tribes that can actually do something very meaningful, have measurable and meaningful and positive outcomes. At our school, we have four specializations: health promotion, management of infectious diseases, public health and clinical systems, and American Indian public health. And with our American Indian track, of course, everyone takes the same five disciplines that all public health students take in terms of biostatistics, epidemiology, et cetera. But our required courses for the specialization include American Indian health policy, looking at the legal and historical basis for the Indian Health Service, the fact that we have treaties in which we've exchanged land and natural resources for various social services like housing, education, and health care. We're the only population in this country born with a legal right to health services. A little known fact, but that's based on our treaties. So American Indian health policy needs to be a strong area of focus. American Indian health disparities. We have terrible disparities, but we also have a unique and distinguished type of history in terms of why we have such terrible disparities. Colonization is unique to us in this country. The boarding school experiences are unique to us in this country. The ongoing racism against American Indians is just amazing, the degree of racism that we accept against the American Indian population that's not acceptable in other populations. These all have an impact on our disparities. Cultural competence in Indian health is another course, recognizing that we have over 500 tribes. So there's not an American Indian community. There are hundreds of American Indian communities, languages, and cultures. All of these need to be respected and need to be understood by people working in Indian health. Research issues in tribal communities, recognizing that when we are conducting research with a tribal nation, it's with a sovereign nation. And then case studies in Indian health. We have a lot of negative things going on, but we also have programs that work very well. And I've never seen it yet compiled adequately, looking at what is working in Indian country and why. So our case studies is focusing on things that are working effectively. So we're focused on community engagement, making sure that the tribes are actually participating in setting the research agenda. But obviously, if we look at an opportunity for academic health department partnerships, we can look at better services, education, research, and policy that will have a meaningful and measurable impact on the American Indian population. I think I'll go ahead and end it there and hand it back over to Nathan. Thank you.
Thank you so much.